Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Understand, you saw what happened in the news. I mean, if you don't know, it was sad. And what's really sad is they don't know how sad it was. They think they're the only party in town, and they don't realize that, you know, there's 300 and some odd million people in America, and they didn't agree with that handful of people that runs the different media sources. But you know what? Bill Yont, right? Bill Yont gave a prophetic word, and I want you to read this word because he talks specifically about this day was going to happen. Steve, can you read that for us?
He says, news anchors will be shaken as they report perilous upcoming world events. Some will be shaken overboard. Anchors away. I heard the Father say,
he's talking about press.
Yes.
These very people we watch on the news who got all this stuff wrong, who tried to tell us all the things that weren't true. This is what God said prophetically about them. Go ahead.
I heard the Father say, I will begin to shake the news media through the perilous events coming upon the earth. As news anchors are sent to certain locations where devastations and dangerous conditions emerge, there will be those news stations whose anchors will not be able to withstand the stress and pressure of reporting horrendous news day after day. The word anchor means something that provides stability or security, like an anchor of a ship in the midst of a raging storm. The calmness and stability that we have seen up until now in our news anchors is about to be highly tested, which we are seeing.
Oh, yeah.
I sense that what is about to be reported in the very near future will make the bad news of yesterday seem as nothing compared to what is about to follow. I will begin to promote unknown anchormen and anchor women into national media who have an anchor that holds and grips the solid rock. I saw several known anchormen and anchor women shaken to the core of their being as they became weary and unable to cope with the stress of their jobs day to day, which we've seen them literally fall out of their chairs.
Oh, yeah.
I heard the Spirit say, anchors away. The Lord then took me to the book of Acts in chapter 27, verses 22 through 24, to a life-threatening storm where an anchorman named Apostle Paul had received a late breaking news report. Fear not. I have good news in the midst of the bad news. I am with you in the midst of the raging storm. Because of you, I will spare the lives of others on your ship. News broadcasting stations will give way to news anchors who are being hosted up from deep waters by the hand of the Lord to be brought on board the battered ships on the sea of life. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Isaiah 33:6. He continues to say, these anchormen and anchor women will come forth from deep waters of the unknown. They will not only report the perilous news, but will have the treasures and riches of Christ inside of them, so that the anointing of God will come right through the radio and television screens as people become convicted by their radiant countenance and peace in the midst of chaos. These anointed news anchors will become spectacles to the world as they are given favor to report of the hope within them. Some upcoming anointed news anchors will be given words of knowledge on what to do to avoid danger and disease, and they report the news before the news actually takes place. The favor of the Lord will increase upon these handpicked vessels because of their accuracy in reporting the news before the news actually spreads throughout broadcasting stations, bringing the fear of the Lord and salvation into many lives. Many will kneel before their televisions, receiving Jesus Christ into their lives, with healings and miracles following. Some news anchors will be tagged with Bible names such as Anchorman Daniel or Elijah and Anchorwoman Deborah, who speak with such authority that they will predict weather patterns and at times change them. We must pray for those who are now connected in the news media. A great shaking is coming upon them. Let's pray that they will be shaken into the kingdom through what is happening on the earth, and pray for the promotion of those whom God is bringing into report his perspective upon these world events. When it isn't making any sense down here, it is up there.
We're seeing it take place. We're seeing that take place. Pull up this other word too, right? God's plan, that where Rick Joyner's talking about it. So we're looking at those words. I mean, in October, God told me specifically during a sabbatical that Donald Trump would be the next president, that there would be a nice, smooth transition the way President Barack Obama is handling the transition. He showed me that the moment that the president takes his hand off the Bible, that he would be working with America and working in conjunction and for the church to be a friend, like Cyrus type situation. I mean, that's the difference. The difference is God is one, he's the one in control. I mean, of all the things he said, he calls the gospel good news. Mm-hmm. And it's the news. And God, you're seeing a distrust in men's news, but God is shifting that to men and women of integrity who hear the word of God, who just tell you what God says. Yeah. And then we watch it happen. Have we not seen that over
and over again?
And there's even one word right here that that Rick Joyner talks about very specifically. God's raising up a news source, right? Read that.
I don't think our government is telling us the truth.
This is Rick Joyner, Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries.
He says, I don't think our government is telling us the truth. The CDC isn't. It's bizarre. We've got to discern the truth, what is really happening. Not only can we not count on our government for provisions, that's one of the first things that we learned at Katrina, with all their good intentions and all their resources, they couldn't get it to the people, okay? I don't think we can trust them for accurate information either. We've got to have our own source of information. We need to have other reliable sources for what is going on, and there are potentials for this to be developed. There are some major things going on in Christianity today to develop sources of information that will be trustworthy, that will be accurate, and if they are not trustworthy, they will be covered as potential, we're hearing rumors of this or whatever, but it won't be presented as news if it is just rumor. But to get accurate information, I believe the Lord is raising up people to really do that. And you're going to see the world coming to the church for information, for light.
So you're looking at, you know, we were in a prayer community praying and asking God, you know, what needed to be done in the season we needed to do it. And I believe it was in 2008 when God spoke to us and spoke to me and said, listen, you know, you're going to be in television radio. It's like, come again, Lord. And he said, that's the way, but you're going to have to begin to reach out to this, the form of communication. Yeah. And we're on every platform. God's put us on, every platform you can imagine. We're talking to the world right now, as a matter of fact. And big shout out to Missouri. We're so glad to have Missouri as part of our broadcast audience. And know this, that God established VFN television. I mean, he established other news sources, but you're seeing why VFN TV is so important. And everything that we said, and everything that we did, we always have it available to you at VFNTV.com. So you can go back and watch past prophetic broadcasts. You can go back and see, did God say that? Did they know it? Did God tell them before it happened? And begin to say, you know what? I can trust what I'm hearing from VFN TV, because if it's not that they don't know it to be true, they're going to say it's not. They don't know it to be true. But if God has revealed it to them, God's going to tell them, and they're going to tell it to you, and you can bank on that when God says it. I mean, even my own self, on the night of election returns, my own body wanted to look around and go, I know what God told me, but I don't know. And it happened exactly like God said, that President-elect Donald Trump would be the president of the United States. Just like the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, said that we have a plan set up. The moment he gets his hand off the Bible, he's going to hit the ground running. That's what God told me. And the third thing he told me was that the moment that the president, Barack Obama's his term is up, and the next president comes in, everybody's going to be freed from oppression that's been over the nation. Wow. That's exciting. I mean, it's like everybody was under this heaviness, and it's going to be lifted up. I don't know how long it's going to be lifted up. I know some difficult times are coming. But understand, all that is coming to pass as we speak.
We'll be right back.
Everybody will love it. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
I mean, when you love the Word of God, I mean, it's exciting in your abiding time. By the way, beginning to abide now, learning how to abide with God is so important, because he says, apart from abiding in me, Jesus said, you can't even do any of this. And we have a simple plan for you. It's at iabide.org. You know, most people want to abide. They want to spend that time with God, but they need a plan. We have a free plan for you. It's at iabide.org. You just fill out that little simple request thing. It comes right to you in your email, and it's a great step-by-step.
That's beautiful.
How you can begin to abide with him. Listen, you want to begin to hang out with the king, since his kingdom is manifesting.
That's right.
It's be the greatest thing he's ever done in the face of the earth. It's about to happen. You want to know the king.
October 31st, 2017 will mark the 500th anniversary of the 95 Theses, the start of the Protestant Reformation.
The sale of indulgences by the church in the 16th century had become common practice. People believed that buying an indulgence could supplement the sacrament of penance and assure them a right standing before God. Martin Luther, a German priest and professor of theology at Wittenberg, came to believe otherwise.
His list of propositions for debate within the church on the efficacy of indulgences, known as Luther's 95 Theses, set off a firestorm of debate.
Furthermore, he believed if people actually read the Bible in their own language, they could read the truth for themselves. He was excommunicated, and when ordered to recant, he refused.
My conscience is bound in the Word of God. I cannot and will not recant.
Experience the book that shapes history by visiting motb.tv. Take part in viewing this historic short film campaign.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Stephen Furtick in North Carolina with Elevate Church. He has a spot here. I think it's just so encouraging because, you know, whatever brought him to this particular point, you can tell that it's like there's something that has to be dealt with. I mean, this probably never happened to you before, where you get this great idea about building something in your house or fixing something, and then you find out you don't have the time or the resources to complete it or the talent to complete it, and so you have this half. Like a bathroom project or something like that.
More like talent.
Talent. And so, you know, at some point you realize, we're going to have to finish this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the ministry, in the revelation, when you're walking with God, you know, you may have some great ideas. You think this is going to really work. But then you get the stopping point and you realize, we haven't ever completed the full thing. We could think that this is going to lead us to a finished product. But after a while, when you're looking at no porcelain and you know what I'm talking about? That we got to finish this project. And I love it because he's talking about right here. He says, you got to finish the job and defeat the enemy. As a matter of fact, take a look.
Jesus doesn't just come so that we can escape. He comes so that we can eliminate every trace of the enemy and darkness from our lives. Too many believers are playing not to lose. Yet note that David didn't just defeat the enemy. He destroyed him. Now, what could be said about David in this regard could be said 1,000 times more about Jesus. He didn't just defeat sin. He destroyed it. Jesus didn't just die to deliver us from death. He died so that we might reign in life. You see the parallels? He didn't just get sin out of the way so we could survive and go to heaven. He cut off the head of sin so that it would no longer have power in your life, so we no longer have to live these self-consumed, selfish, lust-driven, impulse-driven lives. Touch somebody next to you, say, finish the job, finish the job, finish the job. I don't mean to get the spirit of Mortal Kombat, but finish him. That's the word God wanted somebody to get. You're saved. You love God. You're in church. You're doing pretty good. But let's finish the job. Let's cut off the head. Let's don't just survive the struggle. We've got the enemy on the run. Now let's take his sword. I'm so sorry for preaching this aggressive sermon. But let's take his sword and finish the job. I need to point this out to you. It says that David went into the battle without a sword, but he left the battle with one because he took what was coming against him and God used it to deliver him. Oh, this is the word of God for somebody's situation today. The very thing that was meant to destroy you will be the thing God uses to deliver you. He'll turn it around, and it'll work in your favor. Shout somebody.
That's so powerful, you know, just finishing the job.
Getting it done.
getting it done. But the thing about what's been really taught or not taught or the absence of truth in a lot of the church in America is that you don't have to deal with sin.
Right. I mean,
sin's been dealt with on the cross, so just enjoy your life of sin.
That's right. And grace.
And you have brand new believers going, I'm trying to figure this out. I don't feel right about sin. But they're not bringing up, they're telling me that I don't have to do anything with the sin because God did everything with that sin, so I'll just keep on sinning. And what Frederick's saying is, okay, he did deal with it, but to finish the work, as a matter of fact, Paul writes to the Church of Rome, and he's saying, listen, we have an obligation to deal with it. We have an obligation before God to be able to deal with what Frederick is talking about right here. It's a letter written to the Church of Rome, Romans 8. But the only way you can deal, you can't deal with it by saying, okay, I'm gonna write down 10 things I'm going to do in my life that's going to help me not sin. That actually will increase sin in your life. It will actually fuel sin because the law is the power of sin. I mean, you're not going to be able to force your way not to sin. I mean, you would have done that already. But God can empower you. And the way that he does it is that we totally rely on his finished work on the cross of Christ. It's a completed work. He says, it is finished. He died for all sin, and he forgives us of that sin. But we don't just walk away from that reliance. We stay reliant on him forever and eternity. It's read Revelation chapter 4 and 5. I mean, we're shouting holy and glory to the Lord who deserves all the glory because he's the one that freed us from the power of sin. But then when we rely on his finished work on the cross, what happens is, and if we're doing that, then he sent his spirit here on earth now to begin to lead us out of sin, away from sin. I mean, he says it right here in his letter, Romans 8, chapter 8. He says, those who live according to the sin nature of their flesh have their mindset on what the flesh or what our bodies naturally want to do. So you can't sit here and play Mortal Kombat.
That's right.
You can't sit here and play Grand Theft Auto. You cannot murder people all day long. You can't watch pornography all day long on your television and your computer or your phone. And you can't be hateful and be involved and all that, have that in your mind and think that you're ever going to walk out of sin. It's going to be, you're feeding into that thing. But he says the ones who are like that, they have their mindset. You got to change what you're thinking about. You got to change what you're thinking about, because if you're thinking about yourself, it ain't going to work. The more you think about yourself, it's like a black hole that just takes you deeper and deeper. You'll be surprised what happens when you start thinking about yourself. Oh, you know already. I think I heard somebody go, oh, Lord, I know it ain't. If you forget yourself, take yourself to the cross, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow the Lord and follow his spirit, you'll be really surprised. I'm shocked at what God has empowered me to do that I couldn't do in my own strength because I was following my spirit. And then he goes on, he says, but those who live in accordance with the spirit, in harmony is what that means, with the spirit, have their mindset on what the spirit desires. So it's not about preaching and teaching and certain kind of music. It's like, I got to change what I'm thinking if I want to change what I'm doing.
That's right.
And I got to think on the things of God. I got to ponder on the things of God. This is what Joshua says in Joshua 1. He says, I've done that and now my life is successful. You want a successful life? Follow the Spirit of God. Do what I'm talking about and realize you got to finish the work. It's going to, by the way, when you get to the throne of God and the judgment seat of Christ, no matter what anybody has told you, you are going to be held accountable for your life.
Hmm.
Not only your actions, but he says, we're going to be held accountable for every word we said. That's why I'm like repenting all the time. I'm like, dear God, forgive Pat for what he said. It's just terrible. I mean, forgive me for what I said. You know what I'm talking about? And then he says that the mind governed or controlled by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the spirit, which in other words saying, you know, Spirit of God, lead me. Lead me in the path of righteousness for the Lord's name's sake. You know, exhaling, you know, your sin, going, God, forgive me. But inhaling, saying, Holy Spirit, come and take control of my life. Why? Because you can't do this in your own strength. You've got to finish the work. Like Frederick said, America's not going to turn if the church doesn't turn. America's not going to repent if the church in America doesn't repent. How do we do that? We finish the work. And then he says, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile towards God.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at, it's like, if you just keep buying into the darkness and thinking there's no big deal and something happened way back when 2,000 years ago that keeps you being able to stay in darkness, guess what? That's a hostile, and look how hostile America is towards God. Look how hostile, quiet the church is towards the hostility.
Takeover.
Well, and the reason why is because the church is in sin.
Yeah.
The mind of the church is in things that are not of God, not the spirit. So we can repent. That's what's so awesome about Jesus. And he says, not only is it hostile towards God, but it doesn't even want to submit to what God wants. So it's hostile and rebellious. Mm. So the world, American people, reflecting the American church. But you're not going to have authority and say something about something that you yourself don't yet have authority over.
That's right.
You know, sin makes cowards of believers, according to what Creflo Dollar said, in our own experiences, probably. Oh, yeah. You pray. Anyway, so I'm dealing with a few things right here. And then he says this, in verse 9, he says, you, however, and I think this is what Furtick's talking about, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but you are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. If he doesn't live in you, then you're not part of that. And he said, the Spirit gives us life. But then he goes on to verse 13. He says, therefore, brothers and sisters, talking to the church, not to the world, we have an obligation. Mm. So we have an obligation to finish the work. We have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if we live according to it, to the flesh, we will die. He didn't say, you will no longer die because you said a prayer 20 years ago. It doesn't matter what sin you're in. That's a lie. He says it right here. He says, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature, to the flesh, to live according to living in harmony with darkness. For if we live according to the flesh, we will die. Mm. But if we live by the Spirit, in harmony with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, then we will actually put to death the misdeeds of the body. So all that stuff can only be dealt with, not by you making a few task lists how to deal with it. It's like, I'm totally dependent and rely upon you. I've got Jesus, lead me, your Spirit, just lead me. And what happens is, it's not that you don't sin, is that when you follow the Spirit of God, you sin less and less and less as he leads us out of sin. It's amazing what happens. And the Spirit of God empowers us. It gives us a grace to be able to remove sin from our life more than we ever thought could happen.
That's right.
But it's a progressive thing. And he says very specifically about the battle that we wage, the war that we wage, there's a moment of complete obedience, but that comes at obviously the return of our Lord and Savior. But he says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God, and that's what it is, this is how we actually finish the work. You don't finish the work by getting a group and start talking about, I'm going to finish the work. You got to say, you know, God, I want your Spirit in my life. You know, I want to be led by your Spirit. He says, you know, make a son of God. This is what he says. He says, those that are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. We're not children of God if we're not following God.
We'll be right back.
Every kind of media is literally at your children's fingertips. For Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. Focus President Jim Daly talked about this matter and its repercussions with Gabe Lyons.
But we do have to teach as parents our kids how to consume things in a way that's not over the top.
Yeah, with our children, Jim, one of the things we just implemented in the new year was, you know, we have a 12-year-old, 10-year-old, and 7-year-old, two boys and a little girl. And we realized how much technology was starting to become, you know, our Band-Aid for if mom and I needed to talk, give them a phone. And realizing in this discussion about the shaping of the imagination of our kids, we have to realize what we're doing. We're damaging, in a lot of ways, their imagination. Oh. If we just put entertainment in front of them, it starts to cripple that imagination.
You'll hear more insights from Gabe Lyons about faith and culture today at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You know, when you think about, when you ask somebody, what is the foundation of Christianity? Many people say many things, but here is Steve Dace nailing it and helping us to understand really what is the foundation of America.
Let's take a look. When I go around the country, if I teach in churches or I speak in churches or I preach in the church where I go to back home, if I ask believers, what is the foundation of the Christian faith? Almost every time they're going to tell me it's the Bible. No, it's not. Christ is the foundation of the Christian faith. Paul says, if Christ isn't raised, then your preaching is in vain. You're all still dead in your sins. Christianity is about God supernaturally wove his hand into history to roll a stone away and bring a dead man back to life. Did that fact happen or not? If it did, then the Bible is the clarification of how we are to then live in light of that fact. If it didn't happen, then we're free agents to free and make this up as we go along. The Christianity's foundation is Christ. The clarification is the Bible. That is the relationship, I believe, between the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. The Declaration of Independence is the foundation of America. There is a God. Our rights come from Him. Government's only responsibility is to protect and preserve those rights so we can reach our God-given potential. And that's it. That's it. That's all there is. There isn't any more. That's it. And then the inevitable questions that come along when we have conflicts, how do we resolve those things? The Constitution clarifies those conflicts, but the Declaration is the foundation. How often is that foundation ever uttered, ever, by any conservative?
I just gave this speech Sunday. I wish you would have been there, because it was that. There's 6 points in the Declaration, and the Declaration of Independence has those 6 points, and that's all you need to know. That is the spirit of America. The Constitution is the framework on how to protect that idea. And we miss that. And progressives have tried to destroy the Declaration. And we don't have a Declaration. The conservatives are supposed to be saying, what is a conservative? Well, that we hold these truths to be self-evident.
Right.
That all men are created. They're endowed by their Creator with certain rights that are unchangeable. Those rights come from God. The government is established to be able to protect those rights. That is their main duty, protect those rights. Mm-hmm. That the laws are all based in natural law and the laws of nature and nature's God. So the laws out of the Bible, the Big Ten Commandments, mm-hmm. and what you witness in nature, you can protect yourself because a bear can protect itself, so why can't I? Nature's laws, nature's God. And the last one is, if a government becomes hostile to that, you have the right to abolish it and reestablish a new government that will protect those rights.
I mean,
that's it. That's the whole idea of America in a nutshell.
The whole idea of America was when they took the moment and said, we've got to do this. We've got to declare our independence from the king, from Great Britain. That was the Declaration of Independence. And a byproduct of that was the Constitution, which came later. But it was that where the American Revolution began. And so often we're thinking, you know, it's the Constitution. We're finding people that are arguing about the Constitution and trying to get Supreme Court judges in to be able to change the Constitution, but that they're neglecting our founding document, which is the Declaration of Independence, which says all of our rights come from God. Government's responsibility is to protect our rights. And so we got to begin to get familiar again with the Declaration of Independence that was signed in 1776, when they begin to say, this is it, you know, we're going to declare our independence.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless. We'll